This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live upon the earth. And certainly this program is truly good for all people, because the same principles that Europeans should live by are absolutely correct and proper for all people of the world. I am not a colonialist. I am not a globalist. I believe in independence and freedom for all people. I believe all people have a right. All people have the right to preserve their heritage, their way of life, their freedom, and not be dictated to by foreign nations or foreign interests. In the United States of America, we are being dictated to by this tiny Jewish extremist minority that has so much inordinate influence over our Congress, over our media, over our culture, over Hollywood. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an unbelievable situation, but it's true. The head of Israel spoke for the United States Congress. He received 17 standing ovations. The United States Senate is completely in their grasp. We can even look at the immigration issue. By the way, amnesty is something that Jewish extremists have been promoting for a very long time. And I have in my current issue of the David Duke Report a complete story documenting that fact, documenting that absolute fact. The headline of Forward newspaper, which is now in English as well as Yiddish, but one of the oldest and most prestigious Jewish newspapers in the United States, is headlining, quote, "Immigration Bill Draws Jewish Support." Quote, "As the Senate struggled this week to hammer out legislation on the contentious issue of immigration reform, Jewish groups were in the boardrooms and on the streets advocating for the most liberal approaches to the issue. And indeed, the United States Senate has basically sent a bill to the House of Representatives which is calling for amnesty for people who have entered America illegally, broken American law. If any American citizen would cross the Mexican-American border or any other border of the United States and not go through customs or immigration, intentionally flaunt the law, he would obviously be in very serious trouble. But now we have a situation where millions are going to be rewarded for breaking the law by getting amnesty. All they have to show is that they've been here for a while. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's certainly not going to discourage future immigration. If, you know, we have such a short memory, of course, the media determines so much of what our memory is and what our memory isn't, what we think about and we put to the forefront and what we don't. And the media, of course, does not remind the American people that we've already passed an amnesty piece of legislation a couple of decades ago. And here we go. Now we have the same problem. Amnesty legislation made the same promises last time about limiting immigration. Now, who's been behind all this? Well, again, one of the major organizations behind it is a Jewish organization called the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. Of course, from the very beginning, they've been behind it. I'd like to quote to you from Earl Rabb. Earl Rabb was the executive director emeritus of the Perlmutter Institute of Jewish Advocacy, an associate of the ADL and the Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, and a writer for the San Francisco Jewish Bulletin. Now, this is what he wrote about immigration changes in America, a leading Jewish activist in the United States. Quote, "In one of the first pieces of evidence of its political coming of age, the Jewish community has a leadership role in affecting those changes." Now, Rob goes on to celebrate the coming minority status of whites in America. Once that's happened, he looks forward to constitutional constraints against freedom of speech. He looks forward to taking away our right even to verbally protest the transformation of America. Here's a direct quote from his words. "The Census Bureau has just reported that about half of the American population will soon be non-white or non-European, and they will all be American citizens. We have tipped beyond the point where a Nazi Aryan party will be able to prevail in this country. We have been nourishing the American climate of opposition to ethnic bigotry for about half a century. That climate has not yet been perfected, but the heterogeneous nature of our population tends to make it irreversible and makes our constitutional constraints against bigotry more practical than ever. Constitutional constraints against bigotry. What he's saying is that America can never have a party that opposes the Jews because we will have tipped beyond the point. The numbers will be such that they can continue to control our society. How do they do that? They do that specifically, ladies and gentlemen, specifically by the policy of divide and conquer. They thrive in a multiracial, multicultural society. I want to quote to you from a post on stormfront.org, the town hall section. Again, the leading white European heritage website in the world, and certainly one of the main websites in the world that reveals the nature and the danger and the threat of Jewish supremacism, not only to the white world, but to the entire world. And that's Stormfront. And this is a quote from one of the best posters, one of the best writers, and I'd like to quote him. It's the old man of the mountain. "I wish I would have written these words. They're excellent. I cannot find an American citizen that is in favor of amnesty for illegal alien criminals. I cannot find an American citizen that is in favor of drowning in a flood of immigrants either. The elected officials in the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate are meant to represent the citizens who elected them. In my personally conducted poll, I find that 100% of American citizens are opposed to amnesty and open immigration. Certainly, the citizens that we talk to every day, ladies and gentlemen. In the nationally conducted polls, the same trend is clearly shown. Representatives are not sent to Washington to rule over us. They have been sent to Washington to represent our values and our views. We have told our representatives just what our views are on this issue, and still some of our representatives," in quotes, "say they support what we certainly do not. What we must do now is to clarify the issue. We want to know just who is it that is pressuring our representatives to betray America. We want to know exactly who is behind this. We want to know exactly why they are behind this. These are our representatives, not our masters. Please contact your representatives and demand an answer to these plain and reasonable questions. Do not accept a smokescreen. Ask direct questions and demand direct answers. The time to demand an answer is now." And by the way, one of the answers to that question of who is behind this immigration and perhaps why they're behind it can be clearly seen in the conduct of what is called the neoconservatives or neocons. The neocons, you see, are a set primarily of Jewish former Trotskyites who have invaded the highest echelons of the Republican Party and now basically set policy. the mainstream Republican policy. Certainly neocon policy is the policy of George Bush. And neocon policy is specifically for involvement in American adventurism overseas to support Israel in such wars such as the Iraq War, a war not for America. My God, we need those troops not getting their genitals blown off along the Euphrates River. We need them along the Mexican-American border, along the Rio Grande, protecting the soil and the people and the heritage of the United States of America. That's where we need those boys. But the neocons want our troops over there defending Jewish heritage, Jewish interests, the Jewish agenda, while they are here in America doing everything they can to destroy our European-American heritage. They are for open immigration. They have joined, of course, with the so-called liberal Democrats. They're not much different than liberal Democrats on most issues. They have, of course, unleashed the greatest federal spending and the greatest size government our country has ever seen. And they support every kind of anti-American program imaginable. They have been the custodians of the change of America from the nation of our fathers to the nation of aliens. And it's not just the illegal alien Mexicans that are coming over. I hope all of you have read my book by now, Jewish Supremacism and My Awakening. And in there I think I have some very powerful passages where I quote the former editor of the New York Times, and he talks about the fact that we should be welcoming these illegal aliens with song and dance. But I don't think he ever suggested that Jews or anyone else go to the borders of Israel and welcomes the Palestinians into their country with song and dance, celebrating it. Rosenthal says makes a very interesting comment in the quotation I use in my book, where he says that as he saw the wetbacks crossing the river coming into the United States, that he felt that he was one of them. Now, this is a man who is at the highest pinnacle of journalistic power in the United States of America, a high pinnacle of social power, political power, economic power in the United States, and yet he identified with the Mexicans coming over the border rather than the traditions of the United States of America. I've quoted many times Stephen Steinlight. And Stephen Steinlight, who was head of the National Affairs Division of the American Jewish Committee, the largest Jewish organization in the United States of America, he talks about how as a typical Jew of his generation, he saluted a foreign flag, sang foreign songs, dressed in a uniform reflecting the nation of Israel's colors, and was taught that Jews were superior to Gentiles and that they could never trust Gentiles. The man in charge of, again, the so-called Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, literally boasts in the foreword article that you will see featured in the current issue of the Duke Report. He boasts of the fact, and the article boasts of the fact, that this man has incredible influence in the Congress of the United States. He also points out that these massive alien rallies that occurred in Los Angeles, and New York, and elsewhere, that they supported. I'll give you here's a direct quote from the foreword. As HIAS pressed its approach, other Jewish groups were joining the giant rallies in Los Angeles, Chicago, and Washington in support of immigration and against the punitive approaches of the House bill. About 500,000 people demonstrated in Los Angeles, while the protests in Chicago, Washington, and other cities drew tens of thousands. The PGA's executive director, Daniel Sokatch, said that Jewish communal groups could do more. Sokatch called immigrants' rights a major focus of our organizing, saying, "We're arguing that, like economic justice, this is a profoundly Jewish issue. Our soul hinges on this debate. In this issue, it is what kind of country we want to be and who we are as the American people." Yes, they want to make American people quite different than who they are presently and who our forefathers were. Here's the discussion on some of their power. Gideon Aronoff, the new president and CEO of HIAS, said that while the rallies have been very important and have contributed to highlighting support in this issue, inside a group pressure from a broad spectrum of Jewish groups is a significant player in a game where you need to turn only a small number of Republican senators. I don't know if Republican senators are going to be swayed by big rallies, Aronoff said, but a careful analysis by Jewish and faith-based immigrant advocates can make a statement that moral values are involved in this debate. Now, when one looks at the moral values of Mr. Aronoff, one finds they primarily consist of what is best for Jewish interests, for the Jewish people. Now, here's what the HIAS website says about their new leader. Quote, Teller stated that Aronoff has been a keen and insightful, knowledgeable person on governmental relations and refugee issues in Washington, D.C., and brings a strong sense of traditional core Jewish values to drive the timeless mission of HIAS. Aronoff has been a respected voice of the American Jewish community in Washington, D.C. on the refugee and immigration issues, and has earned the admiration of those in the immigration advocacy field. He has been an integral force behind a number of key legislative successes with Congress and the White House. Aronoff earned a J.D. from Cornell Law School and a B.A. in History from Brandeis University. He's a member of the board of directors of the National Immigration Forum and has brought to the fore his knowledge of Jewish community institutions, interests, and community relations concerns throughout his career. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen, by the words on the HIAS, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society's own website, the man setting the Jewish community's position on immigration for America, immigration to the United States, and greatly affecting the well-being of European Americans in our country and our heritage and the kind of society we're going to live in, is, quote, totally dedicated to Jewish community institutions and interests, and has been an integral force behind a key number of legislative successes with Congress and the White House. Well, there I go again, ladies and gentlemen, imagining Jewish power brokers working for what they see as Jewish interests. Mr. Aronoff must be one of those neo-Nazi and anti-Semitic folks who believe that Jews exert powerful influence in the American political structure. In fact, he boasts of their influence. But ladies and gentlemen, may the good Lord help a Gentile who dares to mention their power. Notice that the integral Jewish influence in breaking down our borders is openly spoken about by major Jewish publications. And this comes from the mouth of a Jewish leader, and not only DavidDuke.com. If they exert such power over immigration issues, can you imagine the level of influence they exert over the Mideast agenda of the American government, the agenda that deals with Israel, as discussed in the most recent Harvard paper, a paper, as the Jewish critics have said, has echoed almost every point I have made previously over many, many years. Another issue, another thing you're going to find in the Duke Report this month, and I hope that you're a subscriber already. If not, you can go to my website and get a subscription. And I've got a great picture of Rabbi Ginsburg. And Rabbi Ginsburg, as I quoted to you in the on the website and in my article, talks about the fact that, and in fact, this is from an article in Jewish Week, one of the largest Jewish organization, or not organization, but newspaper in the United States. And he says, and this is worth another quote, I mean, really worth another quote, so I'm going to definitely give it to you because it's so powerful. See, one of the Lubavitcher sect's leading authorities, and Lubavitchers, as I've been telling you, actually have a big foothold in the White House today. They have a Lubavitcher rabbi who teaches in the White House. The Lubavitchers believe that all Gentiles are animals, that the entire world and all Gentiles are made for the purpose of serving the Jews. To quote some of their leaders, quote, this means that the heavens and earth were created for the sake of Jews, who are called the beginning. This means everything, all developments, all discoveries, the creation, even including the heavens and the earth, are vanity compared to the Jews. The important things are the Jews, because they do not exist for any other aim. They themselves are the divine aim. And non-Jews' entire reality is only vanity. It's written, and the stranger shall stand and feed your flocks. The entire creation of the non-Jews exists only for the sake of Jews. Now, this is not some crazy radical talk of David Duke. These are direct quotes from the teachings of the main and the leading rabbi, the most honored rabbi, the Rebbe, they call him. They should call him Rabid. And that was Rabbi Schneerson. I think a very appropriate name. He definitely sneers at everything that's decent. Now, I quote in here also from Rabbi Ginsburg, who is one of the leading authorities on Jewish mysticism, one of the Lubavitcher sect's own, and he's got a graduate degree in mathematics. He speaks freely of Jews' genetic-based spiritual superiority over non-Jews, and it's a superiority that's also based in DNA, in genetics. And he asserts that it invests Jewish life with a greater value than the life and the lives of Gentiles in the eyes of the Torah. This is a direct quote from the Jewish press article quoting Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg. Quote, if you saw two people drowning, a Jew and a non-Jew, the Torah says you save the Jewish life first. Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg told the Jewish Week, if every cell, this is a quote from this rabbi, if every cell in the Jewish body entails divinity, is a part of God, then every strand of DNA is a part of God. Therefore, something is special about Jewish DNA. Later, Rabbi Ginsburg asked rhetorically, and listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, listen to every word, and you will begin to get an understanding of the incredible evil and sinisterness and supremacy, which goes far beyond anything I've ever heard in my life from any sort of European-American leader of any group. But let's listen to what he says. If a Jew needs a liver, can you take the liver of an innocent non-Jew passing by to save him? He answers that question. The Torah would probably permit that. Jewish life has infinite value. There is something infinitely more holy and unique about Jewish life than non-Jewish life. No, ladies and gentlemen, you don't need anti-Semites, and I'm not an anti-Semite. I don't hate all Jews, and certainly not all Jews believe this kind of incredible hate and viciousness and this disregard for human life. The idea of taking someone's liver, an innocent person passing by, if a Jew needs a liver. You don't have to quote any anti-Semitic works or writings to get upset about this. Just quote these Jewish leaders themselves. They speak more clearly about their evil nature than anything I could say or any other critic of Jewish extremism. And these people are not some powerless group, ladies and gentlemen. The Lubavitcher movement has incredible numbers of adherents all over the world. As I said, I have a picture in the Duke Report of a group of them celebrating in the White House of the United States of America and celebrating the power, the accrued power of these radical Jews in the White House. The appointment of the head of White House policy, Mr. Joshua Bolton. And Mr. Bolton, in the picture I have, is surrounded by these Lubavitcher bearded, hateful, anti-Gentile, murderous in many ways Jews. And they've supported, of course, the murder of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians, the torture of hundreds of thousands of people, the dispossession of those people in their land, and they've supported. And these people have been the power behind the transformation of America from an overwhelmingly European country to a non-European country. If immigration is no problem, go tell that to the Palestinians. They can tell you what immigration can do to a nation. They lost their country. They became refugees in their country. Right now in America, in many parts of America, there are millions of European American refugees. That's exactly what they are. They're internal refugees. They haven't left the country yet. And America's big enough that they've been able to flee. We have so many millions of European Americans who fled the homes and the neighborhoods they grew up in because of the onrushing, non-European nature of our country, the demographic shift of our major cities. We have millions of Europeans who've abandoned a beautiful state, the state of California, with magnificent mountains, great ocean, wonderful beaches, clear blue skies, and now they've shed to the harder north, the winter north of Montana or Minnesota or the Midwest, somewhere, to get away from the conditions that have come about by the fact that the American government has not protected our borders. Why? Because their neighborhoods have gone from clean and tidy places to places that look more similar to villages, to dirt road villages south of the border than the United States, with the trash in the street and the problems and the violence and the crime. And their children, they are now the alien. They are now the minority in the school, the public school, that their parents' taxes, by the way, have paid for. And their children can't even get a decent medical care anymore, and middle class people can't afford medical insurance anymore. And one reason why they can't afford medical care in America, the biggest reason why, is because the system treats so many tens of millions of people across this country who pay in nothing to the system. And the hospitals, all, in fact, must give away much of their services. What do you think happens to the prices then? And what happens to the prices of insurance to pay for medical care? Because the medical costs and treatments are so high. Ladies and gentlemen, we are being dispossessed in our own country. We are being driven out of our cities, parts of our nation, just as the Palestinians were driven out. And you know the force behind it. You know, in Palestine, obviously, it was Jewish immigrants who came and drove them out, and Jewish radicals, of course, who drove them out. And in America, it's not masses of Jews that are displacing us, but they have indeed opened the gates of this country, and they control us just as if they were in the vast majority as they were in Israel. They control our government. They will not allow serious campaign finance reform, which we needed for years, because they use that money to control our society. They dictate our national policy. They have thousands of Americans being killed, wounded, disfigured, emasculated right now in Iraq, not for American safety and interests, but for Israel's interests, for Jewish interests. And now they want to do the same thing again in Iran, and they want to submerge this world into war. At some point, the American people must wake up. They must understand the greatest threat to both America, European Americans, and the world, the greatest threat to world peace, the greatest threat to world decency and world freedom. They are the ones that stand behind the globalism that's transforming the world and leading to tyranny. They are the ones behind the so-called hate laws that stifle freedom of speech and thought and expression. They are the ones, for instance, who've caused the imprisonment of David Irving, a great internationally known historian whose books are in every library of the world, who's now in prison in Austria for 3 years for uttering an opinion about an historical event of 60 years ago, and he's put into prison, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have freedom. We don't have freedom and our heritage, and because we don't have freedom, and because we don't have the freedom to understand what's happening to our people, because the media should be coming out four square as an expression of the American people, not as an expression of Jewish supremacism, but as an expression saying, my God, we must preserve America. We must preserve our way of life, our traditions, our values. We respect Mexico. We respect Mexicans. And they have an interesting country. It's an interesting country to visit. They've got great beaches, and they've got great pyramids from the Aztecs that we can visit. And they've got a lot of great people there and good people there. But we don't want to be Mexico. We don't want the poverty of Mexico. We don't want the crime of Mexico. We don't want the corruption of Mexico. We don't want the educational system of Mexico. We don't want the salaries for our citizens of Mexico. We are literally transforming the United States of America. We are completely sweeping away this country with millions and millions of people who are reconquering part of the country that they say that we took from them. But you know, America didn't take anything from anybody, really. And yet there's always been tribes that have fought over land. What America did, the Americans came in and they built America. And they built our industry, and they built our science, and they built our technology. And they built our educational system. They built our principles of democratic government. And it wasn't always perfect. And it wasn't always the best that it could be. There's always been levels of corruption and all the rest of it. But my God, it was a shining example to most of the rest of the world. All that is changing today, ladies and gentlemen. All that is being swept aside. And we are in a battle right now. European Americans are for our survival and for our heritage and for our freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you'll help me get this program out. I hope that you will subscribe to the David Duke Report. I hope that those of you listening will make a contribution to keep this effort going and paying the bills. It's sometimes a thankless job what I do. I travel the world. I work. I'll be in Europe and other places around the world spreading this message to our European American forebears and others. I will continue to work to spread the message in the American media and as much as I can, doing interviews, talk shows. The website is reaching many, many people, but I can't do it without your support. Your support makes possible this program. So I would very much appreciate it if you go to my website, get out your credit card, make a contribution, and let's do something positive to save our people. Go to your friends, send some emails out, get this message out to our people wherever they may live. You can do it. I need your help. Thanks a lot. I'll see you again tomorrow night.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.davidduke.com.